that he would die for us. Paul knew something about that. And Paul never forgot what God had done, not only for him, but for all mankind. Because Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 said, we preach Christ and him crucified. Paul didn't preach a whole lot of junk on Sundays. He opened up the Word of God and he would preach the Word of God. If he came here today, he would just open up the Word of God and preach the Word of God. He wouldn't preach politics and he wouldn't preach sports and he wouldn't preach prosperity. If he did preach prosperity, nobody would want to hear the kind of prosperity he talked about, because Paul wouldn't be talking about his pastor's anniversary. He wouldn't be raising money. He would preach Christ.
Amen.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And Paul knew something about the fact that money can't buy you love. Paul didn't have a whole lot of money. He wouldn't be real popular. A lot of churches in Youngstown are looking for pastors, and if Paul sent his resume in, most of them wouldn't look at him, because he don't entertain. He would get up there and just preach the Word of God, and we have lost our desire to hear it because our eardrums have been filled with the world.
Amen.
But we're going to preach Christ here. We're going to live up to our sign out in front, Christian Bible Baptist, and we're just going to preach the Bible.
Amen.
And and we're going to thank God for all those that come.
Amen.
And hear.
Yes, sir.
We're not gonna entertain and do all the things we need to do to draw a crowd. We're gonna preach the gospel. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And I believe what he meant, I'll draw all that's gonna come, they're gonna come.
Yes, sir.
So you don't have to do no gymnastics. Let's preach God's word.
Amen.
Let's look at Ephesians. We're gonna look at this prayer of Paul's, and last week we opened it up. This here is so critical that God spoke to my spirit and said, you know, just take your time. Don't try to run through this and try to get to chapter 2. But we really need to, and for all those that are just here, if you just need a pick me up, and if you just need to, amen, if you just need to motivate yourself. Okay. Read Ephesians 1 in its entirety. I would say read it for the next month. Just read it and understand what God has done. And when you understand what God has done, it will change your prayer life. It will change the way you approach God. It will change the way you approach the house of God and the people of God.
Yes, sir.
If you just know what God has already done. And when you walk around with your head down and your shoulders dropped and you say you saved, it will straighten you up.
Amen.
God is good.
Yes, he is.
Yes, sir.
And his word is good. We're going to read Ephesians 1:15 through 23. And with the eye on the title of this message this morning, God opened eyes. Do you have God opened eyes? Have God opened your eyes, or have you just been coming to church all your life and your eyes of your understanding of your heart have really never been opened? Paul's going to address that, because there's so many folks that just come to church.
All right.
Amen.
Year in and year out.
Yes, sir.
Singing in the choir, ushering and being deacons and ministers, and the eyes of their understanding have really never been opened.
Come on.
They just show up because mama brought me. Oh. Verse 15. He said, wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and in the knowledge of Him.
Yeah.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the workings of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come.
Yes.
And He had put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things in the church, or to the church, which is His body. Let me say that again.
Mm-hmm.
Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Father God, thank You.
Thank You.
Thank You for all that You've done on this Sunday morning. Thank You for the sunshine. Thank You for waking us up in our right minds, wanting to come out to God's house when it would have been so easy for us to just lay down one more Sunday. We thank You, Father God. We thank You, Father God, for our visitors and our guests. We thank You for all those that You have brought here today to hear Your word. Not this preacher, but to hear what thus says the Lord. And we ask, Father God, that You would make it so plain. That You would make it so plain that the smallest, youngest child in here understand. We believe that. Because you said Your word would not return void, Father God. So we pray right now that all hearts and minds will be clear, because this is such a critical time in our world and we need to hear God's word. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God opened eyes. God opened eyes. Do you have God opened eyes? When you open up the scripture, do you ever struggle? Say, I just can't get nothing out of it. I just don't understand it. I just can't. I'm not feeling it today. I don't have a desire to open up my word. I don't have a desire to read the Bible. And it's so easy for me to pick up the Vindicator or to pick up a Jet magazine or a Sports Illustration, not the swimsuit edition, and just read through it. But when it comes to open up God's word, it is a sleeping pill.
Come on now. Mm.
Paul has something to say about that.
Amen.
Paul has something to say about that, and he's saying it in a loving way. This is a loving message. This is a message that Paul wrote to a church that he absolutely adored. Remember, Paul had just left 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and he was rebuking that church all the way through. They was fighting, they was suing each other, they was doing all kind of crazy stuff. They had questioned his apostolic authority. They had called themselves super apostles themselves. They was speaking in tongues, and the whole church was in a total uproar.
Yes.
And Paul left 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and he was probably flabbergasted. And then he went to the church of Galatians. And a church he had founded, and right away in verse number chapter 1 and 6, he said, who have bewitched you?
Right.
That you have already decided to turn back. So Paul had left two churches that he had planted, and they was in a mess. And then he comes to the Ephesians, and not knowing probably what to expect. And when he heard such a favorable report, he was saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're working in the Ephesians, that you're working in Ephesus, in the church of Ephesus. He was happy. And listen what he says. He said, wherefore, almost sounds relief. Remember, he had just given a synopsis of all that he had done. If you read through 1 through 14, how he had redeemed them and he had blessed them in their love and the beloved, and he had chosen them and he had given them the desire to know the mystery of his will. They had obtained an inheritance and all that he'd done. And then he said in verse 14, I sealed him. Verse 13, I sealed you with the Holy Ghost. And then he said in verse 15, Lord have mercy. He said, wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord. We talked last week and we preached a sermon on what God looks for in a church. And it's online if you want to listen to it. It's on sermonaudio.com. But it says what God looks for in a church. And see, we have our own bright ideas because we think what God looks for in a church is what we look for in the world. Okay? We think that what's happening today in the sports world is what God is looking for. Capacity crowds, full houses, you know, giving out gimmicks and games and gadgets. You walk through the door, they're giving you bobblehead dolls and door prizes and all this stuff is creeping into the church. But God's not looking for numbers. If you read John 6 and get to right around verse number 60, Jesus said he had a mega church following him. It was thousands upon thousands following him, and he turned to the people and he said, if you go follow me, it's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you something. You're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. That means I'm going to have to be everything to you. And the people understood. The people understood. They said, that's a hard thing. Who can accept it? And the Bible said, and they followed him no more. But what the Bible doesn't say is Jesus turned to the crowd and said, please don't leave. I didn't mean it. I'm going to lower my standards. I want y'all to stay. I need a full house. I got to pay the janitors. I got to pay all my ministers. I'm driving a Lexus truck. I can't afford for y'all to leave. That is what he did not say. He turned to the 12. And said, well, what you going to do, 12? Oh, don't think I'm disappointed when it's only 12 of us here. Right. But you can go to the mega church. You can go to the mega church and pay for your preacher's Lexus truck and his gas bill and his jet fuel and everything else they need. He said, wherefore, verse 15, I also, after I heard, and they never heard me, after I understood, after I seen it for myself, and after I was told by reliable sources, your faith in the Lord. That's what God's looking for. When God looks at a church, he's looking for people who have faith in God. He don't care about numbers. He don't care how big your choir is or how much you pay all your musicians and how many musicians you got and how many ministers you got. He don't care about all that stuff. He cares about two things. How's your faith? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? That's important. These are the two cardinal doctrines of the whole Word of God. Faith in the Lord. And you can ask yourself, how's my faith? Take a faith check. How's my faith? You can easily tell by the things that you love. He says, how's your faith? Then he says, I heard of your faith in the Lord. Then he says, and love unto all the saints. The broke ones, the poor ones, the sinful ones, the disobedient ones, the rich ones, all of them. He said, how you love? How you love? He said, without love, no man. What? No, I messed that scripture up, didn't I? That's okay. Listen, let's move on. That was last week. Look at verse 16. After he heard it, seen their love, he said, I ceased not to give thanks for you. And that word for you is individual. If you go to 1 Thessalonians, and Paul prayed for individuals. He knew his people. He knew his people. And when he got down on his knees, he had a vision of all the people. He can get down on his knees. He can just pray. And I don't want to go around this room because I'll miss somebody. And some of y'all ain't where y'all need to be spiritually. And then, Pastor, you forgot about me. But I'm going to take a step out on faith. He would look in his mind and see his church. And he would look around and he said, and I'm going to pray right now for Sister Paula. And I'm going to pray for Brother Michael up in Toledo. And I'm going to pray for Shirley in her situation. And I'm going to pray for Doris. And I'm going to pray for Ethel. And I'm going to pray for Byron. And I'm going to pray for Justin just getting married. I'm going to pray for the Wallaces who just lost their loved one. And Paul would go through that list individually. And this is a message for the leadership of this church. You need to have a vision of your church.
Yeah.
One of the things they do as working in corrections, when we took the job, Nate and I, we both worked for the Department of Corrections. We had to look at a picture. And they had everything on the walls, on the floor, all kind of stuff. And they would give us about a minute to study that picture. And then they would take it away and say, write down everything you see. And you need to take a picture of this church.
Yeah.
And when you get on your knees, think about every face you see.
Amen.
Because there's not one person in here that don't need prayer.
Amen.
Oh, somebody raise their hands. I don't need prayer. Oh, I'm going to call you, Nate. Everybody in here needs prayer. And that's right. He said, yeah, I'm anxious. I need it. I need to pray for these deacons.
Yes.
Pray for our deacon in training.
Yes.
Pray for your pastor. Pray for this minister.
Yes,
because God don't like what he's doing. Coming to church all excited and happy.
Yes.
What's wrong with you?
Yes.
Somebody said it. What's wrong with you today?
Yes.
You happy for? But Paul said, look what he said. I cease. That word cease means I just don't stop. I just, every time I think of this church, I lift you up in prayer. Every time I think of the pastor of your church, I lift you up in prayer. Every time I see a car that looked like one of the members, I lift you up in prayer. Every time I see an ambulance, I just pray that it's not coming to you, going to your house. I cease not to give thanks for you. Make it mention. That word make it mention means this is this individual stuff here. Of you in my prayers. What did he pray? He prayed for wisdom and knowledge. Watch what Paul prays for. Paul's prayers are different than what we pray for because we pray for some stuff. Good health and finances and money and you know, praying that, you know, when I'm a hit tonight. When I praying that the machine will be alive when I get there. I'm praying when I scratch these three boxes off, it's gonna be 100 in each box.
Help me.
Oh. stop meddling.
Preach.
That's right. Help me, Reverend. Preach. Listen, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers.
Amen.
That the God of our Lord Jesus, Now, he said, this is the third time he's mentioned the God of our Lord Jesus. Pay attention when you read the Bible. Study. Because I was talking to my nephew last week at a family reunion, and he just telling me how much God has blessed him. He got the good job, nice car, house, and I asked him, I said, who do you thank for all your blessings? I thank God. And I said, which God? And he said, there ain't but one God. No, people, there's more gods than one. Yeah, you got the God of you got the God of stuff, God of materialism, God of sports. You got the God of Islam. You got the God of the Mormons. You got the God of Jehovah Witness. You got the God of Catholicism. You got all there's a whole lot of gods. You need to know which God you're serving. Paul says it here. He says, "I pray." How and to who? To the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory.
Yes.
When God came into this earth in the person of Jesus Christ, he came in glory.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is glory. Listen, he says that we may give him what? The spirit of wisdom. We covered that last week. We need the spirit of wisdom. Our young people need wisdom. You know, we live in a world designed to take out Christianity.
Amen.
We live in that type of world. Look at Proverbs 2. I'm going to flip some pages here today. And we're gonna stick to Proverbs 2. And I'm just going to read some of this because it is interesting that our young people and our old people have wisdom. He said, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." That means read them, study them, apply them to our heart so that thou ear and incline thy ear unto wisdom. How about you need some wisdom?
Yeah.
And apply thy ear to understanding. You need some understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, and thou criest after knowledge. You need some knowledge. And lifts up my voice for understanding. Praying to God, give me not only wisdom, give me knowledge, give me understanding.
Yeah.
And if thou seek her as silver and searches for her as for hidden treasure. Are you looking into God's word like that? Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Listen, you're not going to get it watching talking heads. Wisdom come from above. Look at verse 10. I'm just running down the list. He said, and when wisdom entered into thy heart. Okay. That's where you wanted at.
Yeah.
Word says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said, when wisdom enters in thy heart, you're going to talk different. You're going to walk different. He says, and knowledge is pleasant unto the soul.
Uh-huh.
Here's what you get. You get discretion.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Huh. You get discretion. And some people might say you get discernment. You get to know whether this is a good situation or this is a bad situation. He said, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee.
Amen.
And what's it do?
Yes.
To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leads the path of righteousness. Who leads the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness.
Amen.
Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked. You know, we live in a generation of folks that delight in wickedness.
Yeah.
I was just going out of the gym the other day and I seen a young lady come in with a shirt that said, "I basically love the devil." Pick a picture of the devil on them. You know, one of the most popular tattoos young people are putting on them on their bodies is the picture of Satan and the devils and people with their mouths wide open and just evil. We marking ourselves with evil.
Yes.
Amen.
That's popular. Look around. Look at some of these tattoos these people are putting on. That's evil.
Yes. Yes.
Just evil. They don't have wisdom. You know, he not only prayed for them to have wisdom, he prayed for them to have revelation. Listen, revelation in the knowledge of him. You know what? When we hear that word revelation, I know we come from a mixed bunch here. We got some Church of God in Christ folks, some Pentecostal folks, some apostolic folks. So revelation means one thing. Reveal. It don't mean the room is spinning around and God is speaking to you audibly and all that stuff. It means that God is going to give you, Paul is praying that God give you the ability to look into the scriptures and pull out the deep, deep truths of God's word.
Yes.
He knew this church was a good church and a faithful church, but he didn't want to stop there. He said, I just want y'all to go deeper. I want y'all to learn more. I want you guys to stand when all hell is breaking out around you. I want you to have the ability to stand. So many of our saints of God crumble when circumstances fall apart around them, and they will. We just crumble and we just fall apart. And God is saying, you just don't have the right stuff. You done built your foundation on sand. Build it on a rock. Paul's preaching. And he's asking that they would not only have wisdom, but they would have revelation. In what? In the knowledge of him. You want to get to know God. Paul wanted these people to get to know God. And I'm just at a loss for words. Because I just really, really wonder how much we know about God. I know how much we know about other things. I can sit here and strike up a conversation with some folks and we can talk about politics and sports and the economy all day. But can you hold a conversation about God?
All right.
Could you sit down and explain to someone who God is? Who's his son? What did he die for? How was he resurrected? And why was he resurrected? Some of us will struggle with it. And Paul said, I want y'all to have knowledge. And a good pastor wants his church to be knowledgeable. That's why we study through Ephesians. And we go right through the whole book. So you can study ahead. You can look at it. Line it up. Next week, wherever we stop at this week, we'll pick up next week. Systematic expositional preaching. Precept upon precept, line upon line. He wanted the people to have knowledge of him. Watch this. Look at verse 18. Here's where we get the title of our lesson. The eyes of your understanding. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You ever been in a dark room? You ever been in a dark room and somebody said, you know what, you're in a dark room. It's pitch black. But somebody said, in this room, there's all kind of wonderful things. All kind of wonderful things. But you in a pitch black room. What needs to happen for you before you can partake in those wonderful things? You need light. The lights need to come on first. And this is what Paul was saying here. He's saying the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He wanted them to receive an enlightenment, an understanding of God's word. Let's look at it and let's see if we can make it plain. I have three examples and we're going to hit them and we're not going to stay on them long. But look at John chapter 3, a familiar story, familiar text. Most of you know it. It's about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a wise man. He was a church going man. He was a ruler of the Pharisees. He was the smartest man in town when it came to the Word of God or the Bible or teaching the Torah or the first five books of the Bible. He was wise until he met the Master. Look at verse chapter 3. I'm going to read 1 through 3. I could read more, but that's all. And it says, there was a man of the Pharisees. A man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Nicodemus means Nike in the Greek. That means victorious. He was a powerful man. He was a victorious man. And it says his name was Nicodemus, and he was a ruler of the Jews. Well, he wasn't just a regular Jew. Okay? He was a ruler of the Jews. What he said went, and what he said goes. He didn't question him. In the same verse 2, came to Jesus by night. Some say he came out of shame. Some say he came because Jesus was so busy, that's the only time he could get in. Don't matter how he came. He came. He said the same came to Jesus how? By night. And said unto him, Rabbi. First mistake. Rabbi. That's what he was. See, Jesus can't be what we is. Nicodemus was a rabbi. So how you going to call the master of the universe, the glory of God, rabbi? See, that's what the world's trying to do. That's why the church is losing its impact. Are we trying to bring Jesus down to our level? You know, you listen to some of these prosperity teachers, they want to bring Jesus down to their level. And if they bring him down to their level, they don't equal with him. And then they don't have to listen to him. See? And see, that's how it is. In Catholicism, you bring the Pope, say, I speak ex cathedra. That means if I don't agree with what the Word of God says, the Pope has the right to change it. So the Pope would call him Rabbi. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, second mistake, come from God. See, that's what the Mormons believe, that he's a teacher. That's what Islam believes, he's a teacher. You know, that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. And I talked to a young man the other day, he said, well, these cults, they come to my house, knocking on my door, and they ask me questions about the Word of God. And I said, listen, how do I know that they're a cult? I said, ask them who Jesus is. I said, that's all you have to ask them is, who is Jesus in your religion? Who is Jesus? So when they knock on your door and they got their nice suits on and they say, well, we want to talk to you about Jesus in the Bible. Ask them who Jesus is. And they'll say the same thing that Nicodemus says. Oh, he's a good teacher. He's a prophet like Joseph Smith. Well, where is Joseph Smith at in the Bible? See, every cult starts off with a wrong Jesus. Okay? You got to get Jesus right. Nicodemus didn't have Jesus right. He says he called him a rabbi. And he says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Well, I'm a teacher come from God. Okay? Every pastor that's blood bought and understands the word of God is a teacher called by God. Then he says, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now Jesus is going to open his eyes. See, you need your eyes open. And this is the key. And I sit there and I say, folks been in church all their lives. Haven't been born again. And then, you know, the popular preacher on TV with the biggest church in America says he was born a Christian. No, you weren't born a Christian. Just because your mama brought you to church since you was a little baby. Listen, Jill was not born a Christian. She was born a sinner. Ray was not born a Christian. He was born a sinner. And there's going to come a time in both of their lives where they're going to have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because the Word of God said, you must be born again. Yeah. While I was sprinkled at birth, you must be born again. Now you have to ask yourself, what happened? Have I had a born again experience? You would remember it. Okay? Some of you in here have had major surgery. You will never forget it. Okay? My dad has had 2 major heart surgeries. He will never forget it. And if he tries to forget it, when he goes to take a shower, he sees the scars that let him know that I have had major surgery. And believe me, if you've been born again, you will know. Oh, preacher, how would I know? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Something new has happened in your life. Something new is happening in your life. Your desires have changed. Your goals have changed. Your thoughts have changed. The way you treat your loved ones have changed.
Amen.
Your faith in God has grown.
Amen.
Heaven and hell, as John Wesley would say, is ever before you. The way you live in a way that pleases God. You don't want to let God down. You don't want to disappoint God. You don't want to be on God's bad side because God will resist you. And when you're going through, you may ask yourself, is God resisting me? Look at Nicodemus with all this mess. And God just stopped him in his tracks. Hey, listen, Nicodemus, just shut up for a second. Hold your thoughts, hold your tongue, you all messed up. And Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, and now that's when Jesus said, verily, verily to you. Now if you have one in the Revelations, and some of y'all may think you have one, and Jesus said, verily, verily, you might want to listen to it. Because
yeah.
The devil ain't going to give you a revelation, said, verily, verily, revelation. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Can't even see it. And like I said, I know hell is closed. Like I said, I know most of y'all believe hell is closed and they've turned hell into a big skating ring or they turned it into an amusement park or a big flea market because we don't believe in hell no more. Okay? Everybody going to heaven. Hell is closed. There's a for sale sign outside the door of it, and grass is growing up all around it. It looked like outdoor park.
Watch out.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nicodemus. Eyes have to be open. Let's look at another one. This is important. Ain't no use me. I just can't even go no further without making sure we understand what it means to have our eyes enlightened. Because see, you can sit up in church all your life and go to hell.
Amen.
But like Paul said in Acts chapter 20, won't be because I played games. Okay? Paul says, it won't be because of me. I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. So don't get to hell and start pointing your finger at the bald head preacher from Youngstown. Okay? I just want to make that clear. Look at Acts 16. We just went over this. This is interesting. Here's a woman whose eyes have been opened. We talk about Lydia. We talk about Paul and his trip to Macedonia, where he heard, got to receive the vision to come to Macedonia, and we went over this, but it just came back up. And it says there was a certain woman, 16:14 of Acts, a certain woman named Lydia,
yeah,
a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Put Youngstown there.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Which worshiped God. You know, she worshiped God. She worshiped God. She worshiped the God of the Jews, though. And the God that she worshiped didn't know about Jesus. Okay? And today, most Jews still don't know about Jesus and refuse to believe that he has came, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived 33 and a half years and died on a cross. Most Jews today still don't believe that. They still waiting for him. It says she worshiped God, wrong God. But look what happens. And it says, and heard us. Well, Paul had showed up on the scene. And it says, she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, she heard about God sending his only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross for her sins and the sins of the world, and how he rose on the third day. She heard that, and she understood it. That word heard me. She understood it, and God opened her heart, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Paul spoke one thing. We talked about it. Paul said, I preach Christ and him crucified. Okay? You're not getting saved by me sitting up here preaching on why you shouldn't eat hot dogs. Okay, or why you shouldn't smoke cigarettes, or why you shouldn't gamble, or why you can preach. I heard preachers preach all on that stuff. That's okay, but I'm gonna preach this gospel. Okay, you can smoke all you want. I don't find it in the Bible, and it may get you to where you're going just a little faster. Okay.
All right.
Now, if you want to smoke them, and right on the pack say, killer, that's on you. That's why you really need to hear the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. One more time. Matthew. Not just Matthew. Matthew 13.
Mm-hmm.
Word reader, you're going to get to dinner. Spend all their money. Get the dessert tray in a carry out box. Willful ignorance is another reason why some folks don't hear the gospel and sit in church all their lives. Look at Matthew 13. And here's Jesus. He's just been teaching through parables. And Jesus taught through parables because they didn't understand. They didn't want to hear the other words. So he tried to break it down to them so they, in a way that they can understand. Look at verse 13 of 13. He said, therefore I speak to them in parables. Because they seeing, see not. They seeing the miracles, but they close their eyes to him. They refuse to acknowledge that he was Jesus Christ, come from God. Nicodemus did. He said, we know that thou art a man from God because no man can do these miracles. But most of the common people, because when you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, it is a life-changing experience. When the Holy Ghost starts to move in your life, Things change. God start messing with stuff. Somebody said, oh, you got to show me that in the Bible. I'm glad you asked. When the Holy Spirit starts moving, it starts messing with stuff. Look at Genesis 1. I'm going to go back to Matthew 13. But I just want to see this. I want you to know when the Holy Ghost start moving, I don't care how big a mess you in, if the Holy Ghost start moving in your life, it's going to start messing with you. I hope somebody here is just getting messed with today. Look what it says in Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. See, when the Spirit of God started moving, it first started moving upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, let the light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Oh, that's what happened when the Spirit of God started moving, started separating things. Oh, to call you out of something. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. That's what happened when the Spirit of God moves. Some of us in here that say, no, when the Spirit of God starts moving in our life, things start getting messy. Start messing with things. And I told y'all my testimony, me and Sydney was going through. We was battling it out. We was in court. I was trying to divorce her. I was getting ready to get free. And Cindy was just praying that the Spirit of God would move. And I went to a man's funeral. Didn't know the man. He was a deacon. That's why I love these deacons. I want to see this deacon in heaven. And I'm going to thank him for calling me to his funeral, because I didn't even know the man. And I went to his funeral. Me and Cindy was just close. I was, that attorney said, you'll be free in 2 weeks. And I was like, hallelujah. Yeah. Just evil. Yeah. Just evil in me. Yeah. No life. And I went to this man's funeral. And they celebrated him. They honored him. They blessed him. They said he's a man of God. He was the first man at the church and the last one to leave. See, that's why I'm the last one to leave here. Y'all, I found out my strategy, you know. And he said he blessed his family, his grandchildren, all his kids loved him. He was just a wonderful man. He loved his wife and everybody. He loved everybody. He was a man full of faith and godliness. And he stopped. And everybody in the church left but me. Seemed like it. And he pointed and said, what kind of man are you? And I was looking around, and the Spirit of God moved on me. The Spirit of God moved on me. And I had to do some damage control, some changing, and had to work that thing out. And God gave me the power to admit that I was wrong, and that I needed a Savior, and that marriage would never be the same. And it hasn't. It has never been the same. It has never been the same. And I tell anybody in here that's going through a marital problem, don't give up on your marriage, because if God can part the Red Sea, if God can move on the face of the water, if God can separate light from darkness, he can bring your marriage back together. Oh, many of y'all in here wouldn't be divorced if I was pastoring. Oh, no. Oh, no. God moves. God moves in a marriage, and God still is moving. Listen. I think y'all understand Matthew 13. Willful ignorance. They didn't want to hear. Some of y'all want to hear it now. They might be going through a divorce. I don't want to hear that. Shoot, I found me a keeper. You know, I done found me a sugar daddy now. I ain't going back to that throat, brother. Then heard the word of God. Then heard it. And that's what they did. It says in verse 13, because seeing they see not, in hearing they hear not. They don't even want to hear the word of God. There's some folks in here now. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this. But God's word will not return void.
Amen.
You're going to hear it.
Amen.
He says in verse 14, it says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Elias, which said, by hearing ye hear not and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. They seen all the miracles that Jesus did. They seen all the work that he did. They seen everything that he did in their lives. And some of y'all, God has blessed tremendously, wonderfully, then lifted you off the deathbed, then took you in the hospitals and brought you out, and you still can't praise the Lord. Still can't get the choir rehearsal on time. Still can't come to church on time. Still don't want to serve. Don't want to give. Don't want to worship. And God has done everything for you. Bless your children. Bless your parents. You know, I mean, just in your heart. Look what it says. For this people's heart is waxed. Gross, and their ears are full of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their own eyes and hear with their own ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. You know what? We fight being saved. We don't want to be saved. That's what the word is saying. We fight the fact that we don't want to be converted. Because the Bible says in Hebrews, I believe 11, that the pleasure of sin lasts for a season, and you may be headed to the playoffs in your season. And I don't want to be converted. I like what I'm doing. I like living in sin. I like it. Sin does have a payday. And sin pays good. I'll be talking about it 2-3 weeks ago. Sin pays good. There ain't no unemployment line in sin. Sin pays good. If the economy was run on sin, we wouldn't have to have those conventions and all that. Unemployment rate would be zero. All
right.
No, I'm spitting this slob on. Come
on. Amen.
Slob on.
Amen.
That's what I got sleeves for.
I'm
going to get Dave over here.
Amen.
Okay. Here we go. Closing out. I know y'all say closing out. I don't understand. I know when to quit. Y'all may not think I know. But I know when to quit. Heard it say, yeah. You still here? Watch this, people. Look at verse number 18, and we're gonna close. I'm not gonna try to bite off too much of this, because this is so deep and so confronting and so challenging that if you can't make it here next week, just study Ephesians. Google Ephesians chapter 1 and just pull up some lectures on it and study it for yourself. It is the most important epistle that Paul wrote. And it is important that you understand your position in Christ and who you are and what Christ has done for you. It is invaluable. It is invaluable. Look at verse number 18 one more time. I'm going to close. It says, in the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Lydia's eyes was enlightened. Yeah. Nicodemus' eyes was enlightened. Yeah. Nicodemus, historians say he didn't get saved on the spot. But if you read John 7:51, you see where he was there. He gave his life to Jesus when he took those alloys and perfumes to Jesus' body. Because the Pharisees had already had a policy. If any man acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord, they would be kicked out of the synagogue. And this man was a ruler. If you study Augustine's teaching on that, that he died a pauper. And he was probably the richest man in that city at that time. Because it cost him everything to make a decision for Christ. And if you're here today, and if you decide that you're going, if God moves on your heart to accept Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, it's going to cost you everything.
Amen.
Not something. Everything. Everything. We don't like that. That's a hard doctrine. Who can follow it? and they follow him no more. Look at verse 18, second part of it. And he says, that you may know, that you may know. Your eyes will be enlightened that ye may know. Know what, Paul? Know what, Paul? What is the hope of his calling? What did God call you for? That's what Paul wanted these Ephesians to know. But listen, people, God called us for a lot of things, and he called us out of things. First thing he called in 1 Peter 2:9, he called us out of darkness. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. In Romans 1 and 7, he called us to be saints. He called us to be saints. Romans 1 and 7. And in 1 John 3 and 1. Look what it said. It said, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That we should be, here's our word, called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows not because it knew him not. You have been called to be saints. You have been called to be called the sons of God. When you out at Walmart and Kmart and wherever you shop, when somebody see you, they ought to see the Son of God.
Amen.
I know it's overplayed, but we're the only Bible.
Amen.
Many are gonna ever see.
Amen.
How was church yesterday? It was okay. And you just late for work and don't do your job and everybody look at you as a slacker and you are a saint. God. But all your friends and all your co-workers and all your classmates know you as a slacker.
Yes.
You bringing shame onto God. Be called by grace. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul said, but by the grace of God I was called. And then he said, but by the grace of God I am what I am. If you are a child of God, anything that's good happening in your life is only happening because of the grace of God. We're called to glory. See, this is what we like. You know, we get our little health insurance policy. You know, we call up Nationwide or Allstate and say, you know what? I want to buy some insurance. What kind? Health insurance. And we get our little policy and we go on happy no matter what happens because I got a health insurance policy, you know? Got a health insurance policy. There ain't no such thing.
Amen.
There ain't no such thing. You've been called to glory. Now, this is interesting. I have to turn here because this one here you have to digest all the way. 1 Peter chapter 5. Because we don't like to hear this because we got the prosperity teachers out there. You know, the prosperity teachers, the theology teachers, you know, they're teaching, you know, positive speech, donation to Christian ministries will always increase one's material wealth. You know what? There's a whole lot of prosperity folks in the unemployment line suffering this economic downturn just like we are. There's a whole lot of saved folks with financial problems and concerns and worries. But look at 1 Peter 5. Look at verse number 10. I could start in verse 9, but look at verse 10. Because we're talking about being called. He said, but the God of grace. No, that's not what it says. But the God of all grace. Okay? Every good and perfect gift come from above. Grace is good. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, called us to his heaven. God's going to call us to his heaven. Okay? Okay? Now, the God of grace, all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory. Glory. How? By Jesus Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, how are you going to hear him? How is he going to call you if you don't know his son? John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. So God is going to call you by his son. And if you don't know his son, how is he going to call you? How's he going to call you? I can't call some of these guests here. I don't have any number.
All
right. He says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. That's how we're called. By Christ Jesus. Now I know the prosperity teachers in the Word of Faith churches don't want to talk about this stuff. You know? You talk to the brother out in California with the Rolls Royce, Fred Price and his crew. I don't get sick. You know, you go to the Word of Faith churches and don't tell them you went to a doctor. Well, you can't claim that, you know. But his wife died of cancer. But we're not claiming that cancer. We're not claiming those diabetes. Well, why are you taking them shots? Why are you wearing glasses?
Man.
I mean, if you believe in all that and you believe in all that, why are you going to the dentist? I don't know. I'm not making sense. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, you're going to suffer on this pilgrim journey. If you're not suffering, something wrong.
Amen.
If you're not suffering,
right.
If you're just going through and you're handling everything on your own strength, this is just something wrong. But the Word of God says you're gonna suffer for a while.
Amen.
And he said he make you what? Perfect. And you're gonna be perfect when you come out of this skin.
Amen.
And you will come out. No one's getting out of here alive. You coming out of this skin. And then he says he will establish you. And strengthen you and settle you. So here we see that last one of those calls to glory. God has called us to glory. But to get to that glory, you're going to suffer. You're going to go through. There's going to be heartache and pain. And many are the afflictions of the righteous. All who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer. You're going to suffer for a while here. Anybody suffering today?
Yeah.
Oh, somebody suffering today. Somebody suffering today. Not only have you been called out of darkness, you've been called to be saints, you've been called sons of God, you've been called by grace, you've been called to glory, you've been called to fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
You've been called to fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son. We are here partaking in some of the same graces that God gave his only begotten Son. We can communion with him on first Sunday. We communion with God.
Amen.
And we're going to be shares of his inheritance in heaven. Ain't that something?
Amen.
And you've been called to liberty. You've been free from all the moral laws and ceremonial laws. God has called us to just a few things. Now we have to ask ourselves, where are we at? Have our eyes been opened? Have we been born again? You know, these are questions. These are life and death questions. You just don't need to walk out of here not knowing Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Have you been born again? As I close, and I am, we think about all the things God has done.
Mm-hmm.
Chose us. Forgave us. Imagine. Art Modell. Cleveland Browns owner. He's wherever he's going to be. If he knew the Lord, he's in heaven. You think he cares right now if he's in heaven? If these Cleveland Browns fans are ever going to forgive him? There's only one person you need to worry about forgiving you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the Lord.
Yeah.
Y'all can sit here and be mad at him. You know what? He's the businessman.
Yeah.
I probably would have moved.
Yeah.
If I didn't know the Lord, give me enough money. Look at Acts. We're going to close, honestly. We closing. Read up. Go ahead. Text will tell you on the way. Acts 26. This is fascinating because Paul is standing before Agrippa and he's explaining to this court why God saved him and what he did and all that. And then he gets down to verse number 18. Acts 26. And he gets down to verse 18. And now he's going to tell old King Agrippa why God saved him and what his job was now. You talk about spiritual boldness. I just wonder how we would stand in front of the courtroom of today and would we be able to tell that judge about our faith in Jesus Christ. Do we have that kind of boldness? I think it's missing in the church today.
Amen. Amen.
We believe we serve a Jesus that's got three, that's got 12 little buddies that all they do is go around crying. Look at verse 18. Now, four steps to being an inheritance. You want to be a part of the inheritance. Here's the four steps. Here's the things that has to happen. We talked about it. Look at verse 18. Paul said, this is what my job was to do. Look at verse 17. Deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. To do what, Paul? Why did God send you to the Gentiles, Paul? Oh, to teach them deep doctrines and to make sure they understand what it means to be born again and elected. All that's all good. Paul said, here's what my mission is, King Agrippa. To open their eyes. To open their eyes. The Bible says after they heard the word of God and trusted in it. Okay? To open their eyes. Have your eyes been open? Some of y'all been sitting in church for 30, 40 years. Have your eyes been open? Look at the sixth thing. And to turn them from darkness to light. Mm-hmm. Why you want to live in darkness? Some of y'all living in darkness, running into stuff. Always got issues. Always got problems. That's a sign of living in darkness.
Amen.
We turn off all lights here, pitch black. Some of us, we be bumping our feet and hands, everything, trying to get out of here. Are you living in darkness? That may be why you having so many issues. Turn on the lights.
Yes, sir.
Look at the third thing. Open their eyes to turn them from darkness and from the power of Satan unto God. Listen, I got a King James Version Bible up here. This is in red. This is God speaking to Paul and giving him his directions. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, acknowledge the fact that Satan has power.
All right.
Amen.
Okay? So we can talk all we want. We can bind them and choke them and step on them. No. Preach the word to them.
Yeah, amen.
That's how you do it. You preach the word to Satan. Mm-hmm. You preach the word to your lost loved ones and your lost children and your lost siblings, and you just keep on preaching, being relentless. This is what he says. And from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. How about that?
No.
I say it all the time, and I'm not going to back down on it. You're not going to heaven without having your sins forgiven.
Amen.
I don't care what they say at your funeral.
Amen.
You have to have your sins forgiven. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. Make sure. Talk to your children. Talk to your sisters and your mothers. Mommy, daddy, cousin, uncle, have your sins been forgiven? That's all four. That's all four. I don't call it enough. Talk about this inheritance. Just can't walk in the room with somebody getting their will read and be part of that inheritance. And I believe that in most situations, the better the children are, the more faithful they are, the more committed they are to the family and to the parents that have gone on, that child is going to receive a larger part of that inheritance. I don't know if the Word of God teaches that. I don't think it may not. But I believe if we are faithful to God and we are faithful to His saints, those are the two cardinal doctrines. Okay? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints. I believe when we do that and we do it right, we'll be a part of the inheritance. And I don't know about you, but I want to be part of that inheritance.
Amen.
I want to be part of that inheritance. Amen. 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 Amen.